This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Everly Brothers. Great way to start the day. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for being with us at the start of a new week, Monday, April the 22nd. I think it's Earth Day today. I'm not positive, but I've been hearing things on the media about it. So if it's not Earth Day, it's going to be Earth Day one of these days. Anyway, we are, in a few minutes, going to be talking with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about President Biden's vow to impose new tariffs, new restrictions on China, and about the unintended consequences of putting tariffs on China right now. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And while new anti-Israel demonstrations now break out at Yale University, not just Columbia, Israel's prime minister is vowing to fight any sanctions by the United States against the way it's handling the war over in the Mideast right now. And is the Biden administration using the Small Business Administration as a re-election tool? That's a no-no. But that is what the top Republican on the House Small Business Committee is saying, and we are going to take a look. And towards the end of the show, in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 exports coming out of mainland China. Do you know what they are? So stay tuned for that as well. Freedom Works, we're sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop, men for the best haircut in Tampa Bay. I'm telling you, I've never found a better place than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Call for your appointment, if you would, first, 727-733-3773. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Great haircut, great price, great ambiance. Also, Arbor Life Tree Service. If you have any needs that involve a tree, whether it's enhancement of trees, removal of trees, stump grinding, whatever it is, ArborLife is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So I guess Donald Trump is in that New York court right now, and they're going to end early today in that trial because guess what? One of the jurors has a toothache, and he's got to go to the dentist. So what was the old saying? For lack of a horseshoe, the war was lost. This guy's got a toothache. It's going to stop all traffic inside of that courtroom. In the meantime, opening statements are scheduled to begin today in the trial. They got all the jurors, and they got all the extras that are sitting there. I wonder how many hate Trump. I bet a lot of them do. That's Manhattan. So opening statements in Trump's historic and unprecedented criminal trial are set to begin today. Judge is expected to rule on several motions that might make it even more difficult for the Donald. So they got 12 jurors, they got 6 alternates, they got one with a toothache. They were all selected, sworn in on Friday. Took 4 days to get the, you know, that was quick. Actually, that was pretty quick. 4 days to get, I mean, first of all, finding somebody that is not against Trump in Manhattan is looking, is like looking for a needle in a haystack. So I don't know. But, you know, only need one juror that decides he's not going to go along with it. And that would stop Trump from being found guilty of this crime. Now, the judge, Juan Merchan, is presiding over the trial. He's told jurors not to discuss or to research anything relating to the case. I wonder how many of those really follow his advice. The district attorney, Alvin Bragg, is going to start everything off with opening arguments this morning. And right now, I guess the judge is instructing, as we talk, he's instructing the jury ahead of the opening statement. So anyway, away we go with Donald Trump's trial. Now that it's started, I guess Trump would want this thing to go as quickly as possible so he can get out of this thing and get back on the campaign trail. In the meantime, in what may be the most closely watched case this term at the Supreme Court, it involves Trump and his argument about why he should not face trial for alleged election interference. The High Court will be holding arguments this Thursday in what could determine the president's personal and political future. Trump is betting that his constitutional assertions may lead to a legal reprieve. The official question that the justices are going to take a look at, whether, and if so, to what extent, does a former president enjoy immunity from criminal prosecution for conduct alleged to involve official acts during his tenure in office? Apparently, this is new territory for the Supreme Court. No current or former president has ever been criminally indicted. The stakes could not be higher, both for the immediate election prospects and the long-term effect on the presidency itself. So there you go. Good old Donald Trump. You know what? He's actually getting more publicity. Whether it's bad or good, you can debate that, but he's getting more publicity than if there had never been any charges against him.
You know, the more time he spends in New York City, the more he seems to be gaining in his direction as far as voters go. The crowds are getting bigger. The chants are getting louder.
They are. And he's getting, like, top coverage in the media.
And listen, this is going to go to appeal and probably be thrown out because the judge should have recused himself from the beginning with everything he's got invested in this case. And his daughter has got invested in this case.
I think there are several reasons why they're going to be able to toss it.
But when it comes time to vote,
that's one of them.
They're going to run ads saying, do you really want to vote for a convicted felon?
Right.
That's what they're going to run mm-hmm. in the summertime.
Yes.
Because he'll be a convicted felon if this kangaroo court convicts him until he does his appeal.
I think it'll be quickly overturned. That's what I believe. I think you made a good point about the judge. I'm not sure that the district attorney has the legal authority to bring the case against him to begin with. It's not in his jurisdiction.
I mean, even
why is a New York...
Yeah,
district court involved in this. Nobody. I haven't heard an answer yet. Why do they have the right?
They're not going to answer. So, but slowly but surely, some New Yorkers are starting to switch, and they're starting to say, "Enough is enough."
I agree.
You're begging for money for homeless, for immigrants, illegal immigrants to house them. You're blowing all kinds of money on this stupid trial.
Yeah, absolutely. And every time I look at the numbers, it's not turning against Trump. Now, maybe eventually all of this stuff is going to start negatively affecting him. But I don't think it's turning very many minds. Very many minds anymore. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, we're going to talk to him about President Biden's vow to impose new tariffs on China and about the unintended consequences of such a move.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back. It's Monday. Delighted to have an old buddy of ours back, Sean Higgins. He is a research fellow at the great Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he focuses on things like labor and deregulation. And we're going to talk to him about President Biden's announcement that he wants to implement new tariffs on mainland China. My goodness. Sean, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, good to be back.
Always a pleasure to have you, Sean. So, Biden made a speech to the United Automobile Workers Union last week. UAW. Yeah. And vowed that he's going to impose new tariffs on China. You say, in a blog that you've got going, that this decision on mainland China may have unintended consequences against American workers. Can you explain that?
Well, I mean, he's doing it on the basis of protecting the U.S. steel industry. That's his argument. The problem is there's vastly more people that purchase the steel to use as a in production than there are actually people who produce steel in the U.S. I mean, there's about 131,000 steel workers that would be protected, but there's about 12.7 million. Manufacturers in the U.S., and most of those manufacturers need steel. So they're basically raising the cost of their doing business. That's going to hurt their workers if they can't produce as much, and it's also going to mean higher prices for consumers. I mean, the cost of cars and other things are going to go up if the steel coming into the country is limited. So the problem with tariffs is that they can protect certain industries, but they're going to hurt everybody else that relies on these things coming in. And in this particular case, there's a lot more people that use raw steel and want the prices to be as low as they can and be competitive as they can than there are the people that actually produce it.
Indeed. Well, we know he's pandering to the UAW. He wants their votes, right? This is an election year. He goes in front of them and he says, you know, I'm going to protect your jobs. And we're going to stop the import of China's steel. This is what I'm going to do. And don't they know full well that what would happen, like you are saying?
Well, yeah, but the steelworkers, he was talking to the steelworkers, and he was trying to announce that he was going to try to protect their jobs, so they're just sort of looking out for themselves. And I can't really blame the steelworkers for, you know, for taking this position. But it would be a different situation if he was talking to workers in other, like in the manufacturing plant that use steel. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, if the input's coming in, that's going to raise the cost for everything. They might, you know, who knows, management might cut back on the workers, or maybe we can't produce as much that way. They won't need as many workers, or maybe sales will drop, and therefore they won't need as many workers.
Have I been
a lot of bad scenarios that can come out of this.
I apologize. I've been saying the auto workers. It was the steel workers you made the announcement in front of, correct?
Yes, I'm so sorry.
You know what? I got the lead here, and they got mixed up on this. I'll blame whoever wrote the lead on this particular speech. Was this the same speech where his uncle was eaten by cannibals, by the way?
Yes, it was. It was, and I watched this live, and it was one of the strangest transitions you've ever seen. One minute he was there talking about steel and the importance of protecting American stuff, and then he segued into how important it was for, you know, for us to be able to build things like battleships. And then next thing you know, he was talking about this, his uncle Ambrose, who disappeared in a plane crash over Papua New Guinea. And they said, well, and he said, well, you know, there's a lot of cannibals over there, and they never found his body. And
that oh, my God.
And then basically, he walks away, and that was the end of the speech.
He is amazing. I think that plane crashed into the sea, if I'm not mistaken, right, to begin with. They pretty much decided that is what happened. That's just, I mean, a psychiatrist will tell you that's just an immense insecurity when you embellish things like that. So back to...
It's like watching a live-action version of Grandpa Simpson. I mean, it really is sometimes.
It is fun to watch him in certain ways if you enjoy all these, what I would call, malaprops that come out of his mouth. So, what is China? How is China reacting to this threat to impose tariffs? And also, let me ask you this, because this is in the back of my mind. Donald Trump tends to want to, and correct me if I'm wrong, he tends to want to impose tariffs as well on China for things like this. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, no, he very aggressively thought to put tariffs on China and basically block Chinese imports, particularly on steel and other things, during his 4 years. When I was, during the bulk of the Trump years, I was a reporter for the Washington Examiner, and trade was one of the main things I covered for that. And he put a lot of effort. This was one of the major pushes of his administration, was to do that. And he really didn't make much progress. I mean, China's default thing on this is always to say, oh, we're sorry, you know, we'll change our ways, we'll do things, let's talk about it out, and basically just sort of delay and stall things until the push in the U.S. sort of fades away, and then everything just sort of returns to the way it was normally. So, I mean, the fascinating thing about this is that Trump and Biden have very similar trade policies, at least when it comes as far as China goes. They're very much the same approach. There's a few minor differences, but broadly speaking, they're the same. Not that you ever get either one to admit that they're doing the same thing that the other guy is doing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I worked years and years ago. I worked at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and we would preach that we always believed in free trade, but then we always had the caveat, but we believe in fair trade.
Right.
As in, well, if you do it to us, we will do it to you, kind of a thing. And then I thought, well, you know, to myself anyway, that means that every time any country decides to impose any kind of a tariff, we immediately turn around and do the same thing to them, which means we'll always be doing that, which means we're not really believing in free trade. So let me ask you, Sean, do we sit and just take it if another country imposes tariffs on our products, like China would do, but we will allow the access of our companies in the United States to their products without imposing like tariffs on them?
Well, I mean, Trump tried very much that sort of tit-for-tat approach of, well, he started start putting tariffs on various products coming in from China in the hopes of hurting them, and they responded by putting tariffs on, you know, various products, and it sort of escalated from there. And I don't think either side sort of ever made much sort of leeway in getting the other to budge. China's stance on this type of stuff has always just been to try to wait out the other side, because unlike the U.S., I mean, they're just one regime that's always going to be running things. They know that if they wait 4 or 8 years, there'll be a different presidency and they'll just try all over again. So that's sort of how they approach these things.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of how do you, you know, deal with situations like China where, you know, they have so much capacity and so much ability to produce so much steel that they can just sort of kind of, they can very heavily impact the, you know, the world price just simply by the level of production that they make. How do you respond to that is a very tough question that has sort of flummoxed a lot of economists and specialists over the years. You know, tariffs are one way to try to approach this, but as Trump has shown and Biden has shown, it's not a very effective way to do it. There's got to be some other sort of path. I mean, one thing that's possibly that could be done is, you know, to help other, you know, companies, countries also help compete with China. I mean, the whole issue with whether Nippon Steel should buy U.S. steel is one of the issues, and something that Biden in this speech, you know, said he was going to oppose. And that's basically, again, him playing to the crowd and playing to the unions. But the reason why the Japanese want to buy U.S. steel is because they want to be able to better compete against China. And they're at least a free market country that doesn't engage in these type of shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
And we can deal with fairly. So it's actually to our benefit if Japan were to purchase U.S. steel, because that would make them a stronger competitor against China. And that would also give them an incentive to keep the U.S. Steel things running, because why purchase them if you're not going to utilize them?
Indeed. We're talking with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about Joe Biden's threat to impose tariffs on the steel imports from China. I think he said something about he would triple.
Yes.
Triple them. So China... let me just ask you, does he have the legal authority, Joe Biden by himself, to say, I hereby declare we will triple the amount of tariff on this particular Chinese import? Can he just do that?
He has to sort of dot the I's and cross the T's, but yeah, I mean, he can, through the trade, Office of the Trade Representative, they can set these policies and sort of do this type of stuff. I mean, obviously Congress has oversight and they can pressure the administration not to do that, but it's a sort of executive policy thing.
So these other companies, are they not lobbying the ones that need that steel in this country? Are they?
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, they'll oppose this. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce and other entities will say, like, look, this is not a good thing. We need some other sort of engaged approach. Although, I mean, the problem is that China is so sort of large that the ordinary rules kind of don't apply to them. So, again, as I said, it's a tough issue because mm-hmm. we don't really quite know how to deal with it. The problem is that most of the solutions that have been tried haven't been very effective so far.
No, indeed. Now, Biden is hanging around the Northeast, particularly Pennsylvania, where, of course, these steel unions are. And our manufacturing in steel, for what it's worth, is still going on. By the way, we, you know, in the past couple of generations, we have really lost our way when it comes to our hold on steel. U.S. steel and the like is not what it used to be. But he's sort of hangering. I think he's desperate, to keep Pennsylvania. It's a critical state. If he loses Pennsylvania in the election, there's a good chance he ain't going to win the election. So he's going to continue to say things like this and pander to it. What are the chances that he will go ahead and definitely do this and triple it? Is that almost guaranteed now?
Well, as you say, as you pointed out, there are others who rely on steel in the U.S. who are going to sort of push against him to do it. So whether he's actually going to pull the trigger and do this for real, I mean, what he wants is the headline saying he's threatening to do that, and this will send out the message that he wants. Whether he feels that he actually has to follow through with it remains to be seen. I mean, one of the issues that Biden has is that he wants to keep all the union voters and people on his side, and we don't really know how union votes do. because there isn't a whole lot of good polling data on it, strangely enough. For some reason, Gallup and the other ones do this question where they ask, are you a member of a union household, not are you a union member? So the data is always weirdly skewed. One of the people that does do good polling on this is the AFL-CIO, but they don't release it publicly. So they're probably telling him behind the scenes, Joe, you need to be worried about this because there's a lot of these blue-collar guys who are also like MAGA hat-wearing Trump supporters, and you need to win them over. And that's probably the reason why he's making these type of speeches right now.
Yeah.
Whether he feels as though he actually has to do that, the triple the tariffs, as we said, will be seen. He's given himself a bit of leeway because he says, well, you know, I'm going to have the trade representative look into it, and if the results of their survey say this, then that's what we're going to do. So that gives some time to wait on this and see what his options are. But at least what he wants right now is, you know, the headline saying he's going to do this, which makes him look tough.
Yes, indeed. Well, here's the deal. If he loses the election to President Trump, I suggest that he hire himself a plane and a crew and he fly over to New Guinea and find his uncle. He may still be there. He may still be. In fact, he may be heading one of the groups down there. You never know. Anyway, Sean Higgins, thank you so very much. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Look forward to talking with you again down the road.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Sean. Sean Higgins. All right. Let us take our break. When we come back, is the Biden administration using the Small Business Administration as a re-election tool? That is what the top Republican on the House Small Business Committee is saying, and we're going to take a look.
The girl's got plenty good loving.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Start of a new week. Donald Trump, I wonder if he is going to testify. He wants to testify, but when you listen to all of the so-called pundits, they say he shouldn't show his hand yet and not guarantee that he's going to testify, you know, just kind of keep his mouth shut up until he decides one way or the other. In the meantime, what is going on now? Here's another campus. Here is another campus. Yale University is now having these anti-Israeli demonstrations, joining Columbia. Police began removing anti-Israel protesters from an encampment on Yale's campus early today after a week of protests calling for the university to divest from military weapon manufacturing. At least 16 protesters arrested. As police looked through the tents set up in the encampment at Beinecke Plaza there, where more than 250 agitators gathered last night, The protesters told the newspaper that at least some of them arrested are students. A member of the Yale Police Department said that the arrested protesters would be written up and released. You know, it only takes a handful of nuts to get a big...
You just
assemble a few people on campus, and all of a sudden, all the media swarms down. There's probably more media swarming down there on Yale than there is protesters.
I did see that Fox ran out there with a reporter and tried to interview one girl, and she started saying, "Well, we have a media department that can talk to you." And someone came running up and quickly pulled up her whatever she was wearing up over her face.
Yeah, the scarf.
So you couldn't see. And then somebody stood in front of the camera with their back. I mean, they're so proud of what they're doing, they got to hide their face.
Exactly.
You know, if that were me, I'd rip that thing right off. Let's get a good look at you.
I'll tell you what. You want to slap them, you know? You would just want to walk up to them and give them a slap across the head. I know you shouldn't do it, you know what I mean? You want to shake them and go, yeah. Do you really know what you're doing?
One of them good ear slaps. You know, right in the ear, where it rings for about 3 days.
Yeah. I know somebody else that might want to give him a good slap. Yeah. In fact, we got them both. We've got the both Ceresi brothers, Angelo and Andrew. And Angelo, you know, these things that are breaking out at all these different... And then it's monkey see, monkey do, right?
Right.
Wandering around. You just get a handful of them to wander around. They put these scarves over their faces. Or these masks, and, you know, they're real brave and courageous, you know, when it comes to these. Then they don't want, you know, outlets, especially like Fox News, coming up and asking them, you know, what are you doing here?
Yeah, they're crazies, you know that. How come, I just heard that Biden now, after a couple of weeks of all these protests, is finally saying, don't bother the Jewish kids, you know, in this school, don't go after them.
Yes.
This guy goes with the wind, doesn't he?
Yeah, in fact,
the wind blow.
You're right. The White House yesterday condemned, supposedly in the strongest terms, here it says, ongoing anti-Israeli protests at colleges across the country, including Columbia, saying that they have no place anywhere in the U.S. It says, while every American has the right to peacefully protest, calls for violence and physical intimidation targeting Jewish students in the Jewish community are blatantly anti-Semitic. They're
he goes with the wind, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's looking at the polls, right,
mm-hmm.
that show that he's doing a terrible job. And, you know, as the wind blows president, that's what we have right now.
Yeah.
Well, Columbia issued a statement saying, because they're putting up more tents on campus. And Columbia issued a statement that says, we encourage our students to protest, peacefully protest, but not on student ground or school grounds where it hinders school activities. This is the time that the New York City police should move in with the water cannons and clean everything up. Boom.
Yeah.
Take a couple hours.
You get these people that say, well, I'm Hamas or this and that. Throw them out. Send them back to where they came from, wherever they came from. Get them out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Cancel their passports and get them out.
I wonder, with these kids that are hiding their face, I wonder if they're worried about mom and dad seeing them on the tube.
I'm paying
for that.
Yeah. Andrew, what do you have to say about all of this?
Well, first of all, I think they should show a movie of Tiananmen Square. You remember that, Paul?
Yeah. I kind of do. What? Tell us about it.
That when they were protesting in China,
Tiananmen.
And China brought the tanks out?
Tiananmen Square, absolutely.
Tiananmen Square,
yeah,
that's right.
That one brave Chinese citizen that stood in front of the tank. In fact, he had his, he had his coat in his hand.
That's right.
Stood right in front of that tank and stopped the tank.
Yeah, Paul, I'll tell you, what's going on with these kids today is disgusting. They're outside in their pajamas protesting. They got no idea what they're protesting about. You would think this is the resurrection of Adolf Hitler, what's going on in this country.
It's kind of scary.
I've never seen, it's terrible.
I have a Jewish friend I was talking with over the weekend about this, just to get her concept of what is going on, you know? And, of course, it goes back to the fact that the Jewish people, and she was mentioning that during World War II, Jewish people that were living in Germany wanted to call themselves Germans first, but other Germans, non-Jewish Germans, would not allow them to do it. In other words, they have never been able to integrate themselves, no matter where they go. They kind of stick out, I guess, like a sore thumb. Is it because you think Jewish people tend to be somewhat clannish?
Well, you know what I don't understand? I had a Jewish customer come in last week, and he's a Republican. And I asked him, I said, David, tell me, why do the Jews keep voting? He goes, Andrew, they're going to vote again for Biden.
I can't believe that, but you're right. The Jewish people have a liberal bent. They've always had this concept, for whatever reason, of being somewhat liberal when it comes to policy.
But why is it the American Jews think that way and the Israeli Jews don't?
That's a very good question.
Because the Jewish Americans are living in a peaceful country, not getting bothered every day.
Yeah.
If they were back in Israel, getting shot at every day, getting rockets fired, they have a whole different attitude.
Well, right now, I would think that if Jewish people in the United States do not think they're getting bothered, they ought to turn on the news. They're getting bothered all over, at least on college campuses, they're getting bothered.
And let me tell you, Paul, what's going on with this trial in New York with Letitia James now wanting to withdraw Trump's ban. What is wrong with this? The black people in this country should be going wild because they are making a terrible name for the black people in this country. And you know what else? What about Fannie Willis in Georgia, okay? She pays her gigolo boyfriend $685,000. The judge rules for him to get off the case. She's still on the case. I want to know what happened to that $685,000. How come I haven't heard about that?
I know.
Well, I guarantee it's in their pockets.
Well, why don't you just ask for the billions that went through Black Lives Matter, too?
Right. That's another one. Those women and men said that they're avowed communists. Right?
You know what? I'm just thinking.
Let me tell you something.
Don't we sound like a bunch of grumpy old men sitting
here?
Get
off my lawn, kids!
That's right.
Look at these panty waists.
Get out of my barber chair.
Look at these panty waists down in Columbia. They got their tents. They got their dominoes being delivered. Black Lives Matter's laughing. I'm never like, where are they looting? Where's the overturned cars and the fires? Come on.
That's
not how we protest.
And look at what happened yesterday.
Hey, Amos.
27 Cubans coming across the ocean to come to America. They get saved on a Carnival cruise ship. I guarantee you they're sending them back to Cuba. You know why? Because they know they'll vote Republican.
Amos, pass that jug of cider over here.
Look at what they let in this country. Every trash from every country you can get. And these morons in New York and these other cities are paying for this crap.
Yeah.
But they're throwing veterans out in the street, homeless people in the street, and they're taking care of this. What happened to America first? Mm-hmm. The only way we're going to get that back is with Trump.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, right now, they're trying to bag Trump and put him in jail. That's what. And American people, they should be marching millions in Washington protesting what's happening in this country. You guys.
Well, the American people can't because we're all working. The people that are doing the protesting are either in college or on welfare.
And also the threat of going to jail. They're holding that sword over everybody's head. You're going to go to jail if you do this. You're going to go to jail if you do that. You know what I'm saying? They're putting people in jail.
The best thing they can do right now is put Trump in jail and watch what happens. The American people will be ballistic.
Hey, what happened with that guy that set himself on fire? Was that connected to Trump? Oh, I know that.
No,
know.
He didn't like Democrats or Republicans.
Oh,
he thought Biden and Trump were going to join together to put a coup against the country.
Well, first of all, that guy was out of his head. If you really
he had
a manifest.
He was from Florida, too.
Yes, he was from St. Augustine.
Another Florida man.
He had a manifesto. Poor guy. He was looking for a vehicle, I guess, of attention. He had this manifesto, and
I could think of doing something better than that besides killing myself. Right? A lot of ways to get attention.
I mean, you asked what happened with Letitia James withdrawing that. It's because her 15 minutes of fame are over. She's like, I'm lonely over here. And the same's going to happen with Fannie down there. She's going to start acting up again. And this is the trifecta. They're going to keep this three-way running until November. That's the plan.
Well, that's right. What they want to do. You're right. They want to do that. You know, it's just like in yesterday's paper that I saw, right, our Sunday paper. they had Republicans who served on Trump's staff, aides and everything, like that guy John Bolton and the woman that was the communications director and everything, saying that Trump, they can't support Trump because he's a threat to our democracy and everything, right? How come they're not saying or talking about what's happening now? Threat to democracy when you have a political trials going on. Nobody brings that up, do they?
No.
Well, and these are Republicans. You know, you got Republicans in this country that are wacky, too. You know what I'm saying?
Well, sure.
Look at this Marjorie Taylor Greene. She wants to dump Michael Johnson, right, the Speaker of the House. He only got one seat majority, right? And she's acting up with a couple other Republicans. I mean, the Republican people are just as wacky as the Democrats.
But Johnson keeps pushing through everything they give to him. He's giving them everything.
Here. Yeah, but the thing is, what's he supposed to do?
But more billions to Ukraine.
Now we
got to give Israel money. Where's this money coming from?
Ukraine is
billions after billions, and I want my receipts now. I want to know where the money's going.
They should say where the money is going and what's happening to it. I mean, they're really not open about all that.
I just want to let everybody know that we've got Andrew the Master Barber, we've got our Eye in the Sky, Angelo. They are brothers. They are with us, and we got Ed, and we got myself. We're talking about what is wrong with our country right now. Everything's wrong with our country. It just seems like this is such turmoil that is going on in our country.
Well, you got the media too that is really to blame.
And the media stokes it. Now, let me ask you, because Ed and I were talking about this before you guys came on. Donald Trump is getting more attention right now. If there was no legal stuff going on against him, I'm thinking he's getting front page news. Now, whether or not it's good for him, I don't know. But I look at the numbers, and they're not moving that much. It's not like all of a sudden people are going, oh, my God, Donald Trump is a bad man. I'm going to vote for Biden. And you look at the numbers to change. They're staying the same. It looks like, in fact, Trump is ahead in most of these important states right now.
And look at the crowds he's getting while he's in New York.
Hey, whatever happened to Joe Biden's son there? We haven't heard anything about anymore. What about Diddy there that got arrested for child molesting or child trafficking? We haven't heard anything about that, have we?
No.
Because they all slide under the table and take care of these idiots, right?
No, that's because they're focusing on Trump's trial.
Apparently, they haven't heard of P.T. Barnum's favorite saying, or one of his best sayings was, even bad publicity is good. Remember
there
that?
There you go. That's right. That's what I'm saying with Trump. He's getting front page coverage.
But he's still losing getting out where he needs to get.
Yes.
But here's what I would suggest.
But he goes in front of a microphone and he starts to talk.
But
and he
at
gets
some
a lot
point
of
soon,
there.
I think he needs, real sooner than later, he needs to pick a vice president and have the running mate go
point.
on his
That's
behalf.
That's a good point.
And because you
good
people
point.
That claim to be Trump fans and are appalled by what's going on, it's time to rally around the man and give the man some support, some boat parades, some parades, period. Where are the get-togethers without him there just to show the support?
Well, that's what people got to start doing. They got to start supporting President Trump. But you know what the thing is? They have never seen a president when he was saying, you know, protest lawfully do this. He didn't tell them to go storm the Capitol building or anything like that, but what the Democrats have said. They've never seen a president rally the people, you know, or speak out like he does. You know what I'm saying? You haven't had a president like him since Teddy Roosevelt in 1900, when he had the Bull Moose Party and everything like that, where he wasn't beholden. And, you know, those people are all dead and gone now. That's another time. And today, the people have not seen a politician like him, Donald Trump, where promises were made and promises were kept. The politicians of today that we have all been groomed to speak eloquently, to speak like this, to speak like that, make promises, and tell the people what they want to hear, but they never follow through on their promises.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
I do.
Half the people see this, half the other people don't. And they're not used to seeing a politician like Donald Trump that he's not beholden to anybody.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Angelo. And guys, we could talk for days with all the things that are going on. I want to thank both of you. Look forward to having you both on, possibly again on Wednesday when we do our show. But thanks so much for giving us your thoughts this morning.
No, you're
you got
welcome.
It, Paul. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
And I hope Biden
care,
falls on his head.
He already did. It's too late.
Hey, say hello to Mr. Golly for me.
All right. Thanks, guys. There they go. You know, they put energy in our show. Yeah. They put energy in our show.
I just hope that Trump picks his running mate soon and gets him on the campaign
trail. I think you're right
about
that. Yeah.
You know, and get the people stirred up a little bit.
Agreed.
And listen, whatever he said on January 6th, you know, about peacefully protesting.
They're going to march
peacefully. They're going to sandwich that with that he's going to be a dictator.
Of course.
Even Biden's using that now. He said he'd be a dictator on day one.
Of course.
We said that when he was going to start drill baby drill and build the wall.
You got it. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 exports coming out of mainland China.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment, Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. If you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button, and Ed's got all your shows right there. ourfreedomworks.com. Now, as promised, the top Republican on the House Small Business Committee is accusing the Biden administration of using a key government agency, namely the Small Business Administration, as a campaign arm in a critical swing state ahead of the election. This is Chairman Roger Williams of Texas on the committee. He said, "My colleagues and I sent a letter to the SBA, the Small Business Administration, inquiring into their memorandum of understanding with the Michigan Department of State. It appears the SBA is diverting its resources away from helping Main Street so it can register Democratic voters." Well, you can't do that. Now, this is all coming as Biden's reelection campaign eyeballs Michigan as a must-win state in the race. And so Williams' committee is investigating the SBA's collaboration with the Michigan Department of State on a program, quote, to promote civic engagement and voter registration in Michigan. Yeah, that's not their job. They're not allowed to do that kind of a thing. They're supposed to stay out of politics. All right, Ed, before we get into our top 10, real quickly, the hockey playoffs have begun. I was watching the game, and our beloved Lightning went down in defeat to the Florida Panthers yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't a good weekend for Tampa Bay sports as Lightning went down, and then the Rays lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope both of them get back on track. Let us go to our top 10. This is coming from worldstopexports.com. The top 10 exports out of mainland China. Now, mainland China has the second largest economy in the world, only behind the United States. The following export product groups categorized the highest dollar value in Chinese global shipments during year 2023. So here we go. Number 10. Clothing. And clothing accessories are number 10, not knit or crochet. And it's 2.1% of their exports, about $71 billion. Number 9, they export organic chemicals, about $78 billion worth, and about 2.3% of their exports.
Organic chemicals?
Organic chemicals.
Well, they don't use them there, but they export them.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Number 8, well, back to clothing, knit or crochet clothing accessories. $83 billion, 2.5%. Number 7. Toys and games.
Of course.
Yeah, did you know that?
Yeah, ones with painted with lead and all that good stuff.
I know that I had a bike that was made in China, and it broke on me eventually. Anyway, about $89 billion, about 2.6% of their exports. Number 6. Iron or steel articles. Iron or steel articles, $98 billion worth, about 2.9% of their exports. Number 5, furniture, bedding, lighting, signs, and prefabricated buildings.
All of the above.
All of the above. They're all lumped together.
Jesus.
It's $121 billion worth and about 3.6% of their exports. Number 4, plastics and plastic articles, $133 billion, about 3.9% of their exports. Number 3. Well, you knew this was coming. Vehicles.
Yep.
Yep. $193 billion, about 5.7%. Number 2. Number 2 is machinery. Well, I mean, machinery could have included vehicles, but they take that away from vehicles. Machinery, including computers. And listen to this, $512 billion in 2023, 15.1%. That's a lot. All right, Ed, what do you think? I know, it's hard to figure it out, but do you want to give a guess as to what the number one export is?
I don't know. Someone's telling me shoes.
Oh.
Yeah.
That'd have to be a lot of shoes to be number one. It'd have to be every shoe that was ever made.
I'm almost guessing it's not going to be anything that's green for the planet.
True.
Yeah.
It's electrical machinery and equipment. Now, again, this is an unfair shot because the one underneath was machinery, including computers.
Well, you can say that's probably like extension cords and stuff like that.
That's correct. $899 billion worth, 26.5% of their total exports.
Jeez.
It far supersedes everything else. All right, thank you so very much. We will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour.